And if you haven't read Jonathan Livingston Seagull yet, you're missing something. It's a must read. Also, you know, when your kids get up there a little bit in age, let them read it as well. Welcome back, Richard Bach with us. Richard, when you finally sat down to write Jonathan Livingston Seagull, how long did it take to complete?
Let's see. I would say an hour.
Are you kidding me?
I've learned what I later found out from other writers, as long as you're writing fast, if you're going very, very fast, it's probably really good. But if you're dipping a quill in some purple ink and doing one word at a time, it's probably not quite what you want to do. And so those times when something happens in our mind and we just have to type as fast as we can type to get it through, that's good. That's good stuff.
It's the best. It really is. Well, it's a wonder. It was back in the 70s, it was the book. I mean, I remember my friends talking about it and everybody else. It was just, it caught on like crazy. And in those days, well, in the 70s, I guess, did they promote it a lot, or was it just a word-of-mouth buzz?
It was word-of-mouth. I put a little ad in one of the aviation classified things and said, I'll sign your copy of Jonathan Seagull and be happy to do that. And people started sending me books. And then they'd send me a whole bunch of others that they wanted to have as gifts, too. Huh. And that happened. This was just very much a personal interaction with individuals around the country. So it just grew and grew. And there were a lot of people who didn't like it, just thought it was a terrible, terrible book. But that's okay, because there were some people who did like it.
Well, you know, it's the kind of book you've got to read it beyond the words. I mean, if you read it just for the words, you go, I'm reading a book on a seagull that's flying? But it's way beyond that.
Yeah, it is. And thank you for saying that, because that's the power of the book is what it doesn't say, but what it talks to quietly within the mind.
It makes you think. It really does, that you could do anything. Let's go to Darren in Santa Ana, California. Darren, you're on with Richard Bach. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. First of all, Mr. Bach, it's an honor to talk to you. I'd like to thank you for sharing your gift with all of us. Your writing is amazing and really inspirational to me. Also, I just wanted to note before I ask my question that I'm a big Yes fan, and John Anderson had referenced Jonathan Livingston Seagull on Tales from Topographical Oceans. And I knew if John Anderson was singing about your book that it had to be something special. But there's something about your writing and these types of artistic expressions. Through the kind of lyrics that John Anderson writes, the kind of books that you write, and Carlos Castaneda has written, where you're blending ordinary reality with kind of a deeper metaphysical reality, where it kind of meets fantasy. And that type of art tends to reach out and affect people on a very personal level. And I guess I'd like to know what that experience is like for you when you realize that something you have created has reached out and touched so many other people in a personal way.
It's a feeling that's very hard to talk about because it's not me. I didn't invent the story. Bam, it was there. And then the same for some of the other books I've done, too. I started, my first three books were aviation, very straightforward aviation things. And then, just as you said, I realized that there's something more to say. And if I had the courage to say it, courage to say, this is a fiction, but yet it's true, then I would meet a little wider family that I had known before. Instead of just aviators, there were other people too, and so I was very glad to reach what you're saying, that there's, it's not you that's doing it, it's a spirit that is somehow using you, and the spirit uses musicians for brand new music, dancers, artists, motion picture, all of a sudden there's something there that says, yeah, you can write this, you can paint this, you can film this. And what it is, I don't know, but it's a powerful, powerful stuff for people who enjoy writing and dancing and taking movies.
If you can recall, Richard, what might have been, because I'm sure you had a lot of people write into you about Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Was there one letter that ever stood out that you just said, you know what, it just says it all about what I did?
Oh, my goodness. There have been so many over the years. And I will read a letter and say, this person recognize something that I never saw was there before, but he's absolutely right. I have a huge admiration for the readers. I don't know how to say it. They're magnificent people, and every once in a while, one of them will send me a letter, and it's touching me. It's a wonderful, wonderful event.
Well, it sure is. Next up, we go to Blair, Sedona, Arizona. Blair, welcome to the program. Hi, Blair.
Hi, George. Thank you very much, sir. And thank you, Richard. You are an inspiration for me. I was 19 in 1970. And after reading Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I experienced a lightness in the chest area, my chest cavity. So from then on, I experienced what the expression heavy heart means as a contrast to that feeling. So thank you very much. And
wow.
The blue feather, yeah. And you talked about the blue feathers synchronicity. I just sent producer Tom a photo of me having a blue jay land in my hand this morning, taking a peanut and flying away. interesting stuff happening right now. This is the George Norrie technique of having synchronicity nights, you know.
You got it.
Anyway, the idea of spirit that you've mentioned and soul. A lot of people are confused, and I'm sort of struggling what the difference is between the two. And some people believe, like the Urantia book says, our soul is a living experience right now in this single human personality. But other trans mediums say our soul is pre-existent, and then we choose the body. So I see sort of a contradiction there. How do you look at that?
I really don't. I think I rarely use the word soul. I have a sense of spirit. Yes, that's an ongoing thing. It's having an experience as a mortal now, not a permanent experience, but it's just learning whatever it can learn from being a mortal. And then there's times where there's no physicality involved in spirit at all. And I'm learning. I'm just a kid, just learning little bits and pieces, and they matter to me. But how do I explain them to others? You know, a story will say it, and that's the best I can do.
And that's pretty darn good, Blair. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Chuck in Zephyr Hill, Florida, east of the Rockies. Chuck, go ahead.
Well, hello, George.
Hey, Chuck.
Hello, Richard.
Hi.
Very, very nice show you've got going here tonight. And, Richard, I just wanted to let you know how much your books have been appreciated by everybody out out here that's involved with aviation in pretty much any form.
Wonderful.
Especially in the world of skydiving. Your book, Illusions, is quite the cult classic, and it's always around at every parachute center that I've ever been to, every little drop zone. There's a copy of it floating around somewhere.
Fantastic.
When the new people come into sport parachuting and start asking a lot of questions about how do you do this and how do you do that, and asking for help, usually somebody will just hand them an old beat-up copy of Illusions and tell them just take it home and read it and come on back and you'll figure things out.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
So much of that.
Yeah. Early on, when I started skydiving, the same thing that Jonathan Siegel felt, that he was frightened, but he did it anyway. And I think there's so many skydivers who say, at least when they're young, they go through this. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it. And the result that you have, your first few landings there that are just magnificent, and you feel, I did something worthwhile with my life now, and I like that. Yeah. Thank you so much for that.
I might have to go back and reread the book, too. I bet if you read it a couple times, only read it the one time when I bought it, because I got it right away. But I wonder if you read it a couple times, Richard, if you get more messages behind it.
Yeah, there are things that will overlie your personality and your living for the last 30 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just saw that just recently what I was talking about, that Jonathan was frightened, but he kept it under control. And I didn't realize it said that, but sure enough, it did. And I felt that when I was skydiving, that was very important, that in order to have this wonderful experience of freedom and joy in the sky, you had to say, I will not fear. I'm going to do this. And sure enough, you do it, and it's beautiful.
Do you think that this experience, this dying experience practically, made you complete?
Oh, my goodness, what a... Maybe not complete, but a whole lot toward that goal. I never knew personally myself that these things were true, that the death is a beautiful living experience. Death is a terrible word for it. It's a glorious feeling. And I learned not to be sorry for friends that died. It's a beautiful time. I had a friend who told me, it's been a couple of weeks, that his wife died. They'd been married for 50 years, and he saw her in the morning with a smile. She just had this beautiful smile on her mouth, and that sense of it's beautiful is so important for me, and I hope for some other people too, particularly if they've had an experience that seems so terrible, just to remember it's okay. It's beautiful, and it'll be true for us too.
Would you call the book just a phenom? It took off like a rocket ship. Nobody expected it. You didn't expect it. Nobody did.
No. I don't know. I remember when it was starting, it took like 2 years for it to start. And during that time I was, sending them out to friends who wanted to have the book. So I have the whole history of it. And I've had a lot of people who just hated it. So I've seen all kinds of responses to it. But I know that the real Jonathan Siegel is in our hearts. That's what makes us change our lives. And and become something that's worthwhile in the longer sense for us. And I'm glad to, and I watch. I'm not responsible for it. Yes, it used my vocabulary, and yes, those are my words. But the story itself was already there. I didn't invent it.
We go now to Tony in McAllen, Texas. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
Richard, I appreciate you being here also. It wasn't until just a couple weeks ago that your name came back into my life. It was kind of amazing. I read Jonathan Livingston Seagull when I was a sophomore in high school, and I got it right away, just like George did. And I, from that day on, I constantly expected to be able to work with the other world and watch those kind of things come into my life. But a couple weeks ago, one of the guys that I go to church with said, you know, I flew with a guy in Europe. His name was Richard Bach, and he wrote a book called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. You remember an airman named Gene Krill?
That's
a little wiry guy.
Name. Oh, sure. Yes. Uh-huh. He was in Shomo.
Him and I go to church together here.
Oh, fantastic. Give him, please, my very, very good wishes.
I sure will. The book has both Jonathan Livingston Seagull and the other book, one that I read. Both of them helped me to expect to do great things and call upon the other powers that are in this world and the other world to make things happen. And I appreciate you very, very much.
Oh, magnificent. Thank you so much. Oh.
That's great.
Thank you much. Bye.
All right. Very good. See, I told you about our listeners there, Richard.
Yes.
They are great people. So in this dying experience, and you felt that you were like floating in a dirigible and back
yep.
in you came, and they gave you this choice. They gave you this
yep.
choice to come back. Do you think if you had elected to stay that you would have died?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It was right on the edge. And it was so for a while, for a few days after I came back, it was so easy to die. And then later, as time went on, dying then became a bigger deal. But at that time, you're just on a knife edge. And I had to say, there's a reason for me doing this. And gradually, sure enough, I saw there is a reason, and it touched my life in order to share what I lived. And sure enough, so many books are exactly that, aren't they? They're people who go out and they do things and learn things, and then they give it to us too, freedom, that we discover what it's like to have done all the things that they have done without having to go through all the difficult times to make it happen.
All right, we're going to come back with final phone calls with you, Richard, in just a moment. Richard Bach, our special guest here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to have a split show. Linda Stasi joins us for a little bit, talking about her incredible work in the paranormal world. You're going to love it all. We'll be back in a moment with final calls with Mr. Richard Bach on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Richard Bach with us. We'll take your calls as well, final calls. Richard, question for you because, I mean, you wrote the book that I think is enlightening and important to people. I'm sensing that people on this planet right now, they're not happy. They're full of bitterness. They're full of hatred. Are you sensing that too?
Good question. You look at the international situation all around the world, and you see all kinds of conflicts that are going on there. But that's each of their choices. We have choices too. If we want to have a really interesting life, we have all kinds of opportunities. you hear people talk about having spirit guides and that sort of thing. If you want spirit guides, just ask them. Just say, I need to know what you know. Tell me a story. Tell me something that will touch my heart. And that will happen. And to me, the importance of the world is it's an individual world. Each of us has it in our hearts. We can't change other people at all. We can change ourselves. And if we just listen to what our own spirit whispers to us about the way that we can live, the way we can give the gift of who we are to the world, we'll be okay.
Next up, west of the Rockies, Jim, Portland, Oregon. Hey, Jim, thank you for holding.
Oh, thank you. This is a fun night, fellas. I'm really enjoying it. I was wondering, Richard, what writers have influenced you? And if there's enough time, I was wondering if when you sleep at night, if you ever have dreams about flying without an aircraft.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Not very often, but once in a while, it's perfect. There is the spirit doesn't need an airplane, and once in a while, we can link into that just as we're going to sleep, and have that. Writers that have touched me, Neville Shute, just he wrote 26 novels, beautifully written. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, of course, he wrote six books, and he was ready to die. It was very interesting to see the last feelings that he had before he flew back into 1944 into combat, and he was he crashed there, and he said, I really don't like aviation as it is now. There's so many radios and so many knobs and things. He was used to very simple aircraft, and he had lost a lot of friends, and he missed them. And so that his writing is also absolutely beautiful. Ray Bradbury.
One of the best, who, huh?
Absolutely. Just a wonderful guy. When I finished my first book, I was in France, and I finished it, and I didn't know if it was going to sell or not. But I wrote him a letter, and I said, Ray, I've heard one of your lectures in Long Beach, and it really touched me. And I just want to say thank you, even though I may never publish anything. I want to thank you for touching my life. And I waited a little while, and then in the mail for me in France from Ray Bradbury were two pages that were typed. And he said, you'll never be able to thank me. The only way you can thank me is to give your gift to new writers coming through. That's the only way you can thank me. And he said, by the way, if you get into Los Angeles, look me up. So a couple of years later, I was in Los Angeles and I knocked on his door. The door opened a little bit. His spectacled eyes looked at me, and I said, I'm Richard Buck. And he immediately, the door opened, he hugged me. It was just what a wonderful, wonderful person he was, and still is, of course. You can still see his
work
lectures.
Is everywhere. That's right.
Oh, absolutely. Legacy. Marvelous man.
I had we used to publish a newsletter called the After Dark Newsletter, Richard, and I wrote an article about a Twilight Zone episode that he wrote, I Sing the Body Electric.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I loved it. It was one of my favorites. And I wrote a little story about it. And a friend of mine, Mark Zucree, who's a guest, he's a publisher and director here in Los Angeles. He sent the article to him. And Ray sent me back a letter that I have posted up on my office wall. And it's something I'll just keep forever. So it's a little bit like what you had. It's just amazing to keep that. He said, you made me smile with this. And thank you. So, let's wrap this up. Go ahead.
I have on my computer what he told me. Have fun, don't think, and don't care. And somehow that seems to work for me. What a gift he is.
Let's go to Duarte, California. Scott's with us. Hey, Scott, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Richard, for being on the show. It's a real pleasure to listen to you. I myself had been clinically dead 5 times.
Oh, boy.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. 3 times during a 36-hour brain surgery to remove a tumor inside, and I bled all over my brain stem, and twice the surgeons walked away from me and declared time of death, and they were in scrubbing up, and the nurses burst through the door. This is what the head neurosurgeon told me, and said, come back, he's alive. And because I had thanked him for, you know, bringing me back, and he said, Scott, it wasn't anything we did. We walked away from you. He said,
somebody, oh, wow.
He said,
what do you remember from that? What do you remember?
Oh, everything. It was so beautiful. It was so incredibly beautiful and in depth. And I was spoken to by who I knew. Was God, and I had a view of what I knew to be, because I was given all knowledge as this was occurring.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the universe, and the universe was me. It was.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, yes.
It was the best way to put it into words, when I do speaking engagements for IAMS group, it's International Association for Near-Death Studies.
Yeah.
I tell people that if you were a drop of water and I put you in an eyedropper and walked down to the Pacific Ocean and dropped you into the Pacific Ocean, at that point you would be the Pacific Ocean and all water on the earth, you know, like the Atlantic and all bodies of water connected.
Yeah.
And that's what I was the universe, and it was me, and I had all knowledge of everything within the universe, and it was so beautiful.
That is absolutely amazing. That the new book that I've got, I had an event with my little dog, the spirit of my dog, who said the same thing. He said, "I'm all of a sudden, I am huge. You live within me. Every breath you take is of me," and that sense of enormity that he gave to me really, really helped. And that same thing with what you're saying here, that we are all part of the one, of the whole truth. And that's what a great, great understanding that is. What a great job you're doing. Thank you.
Yeah, Richard, I got to tell you, there was the true story. A English anchorman, television anchorman, was interviewing the Dalai Lama. It was trying to be funny. And so he was gonna tell him a joke. And so the Dalai Lama and this interviewer, they're sitting there on a couch, chair and a couch. And the guy from the UK says to the Dalai Lama, "Have you ever gone into a pizza parlor?" And the Dalai Lama is just like looking at him like, "What?" And he says, "Well, when you go in, do you order a pizza one with everything. And the Dalai Lama looked at him, and it was supposed to be a joke, one with everything, right?
Yeah.
And the Dalai Lama didn't get it. Nobody got it. And it was just horrible, horrible. This poor anchorman is got his head in his hands saying, why did I do this? But the look on the Dalai Lama was priceless. I mean, like, what are you doing? One with everything. But when you talk about one with everything, we're all connected, aren't we?
It's like a pizza too. Yeah. Oh.
We're all pizzas.
Sweet.
We're all pizzas. Let's take a few more calls. We're almost out of time here, Richard.
Okay.
And thank you for spending the 3 hours with us.
Yeah.
Aberdeen, Washington, we go west of the Rockies. Hello, Kirsten.
Oh, George, thank you so, so much. Richard, I've been waiting for you for so long. Every time you released a book, I went right out and bought it. You have greatly informed my existence. And I would like to tell you a short story. I was on a journey between Idaho and Aberdeen about 15 years ago. And while I was traveling, it was one of those clear, incredible days, just brilliant and crystalline. And along to my right, on this prairie road that I was traveling, I could not believe this. To this day, I do believe it. Along came a perfectly spotless, bright yellow biplane, and it was crop dusting. Richard, I went crazy. Oh. I stopped my car on the freeway. I climbed out onto the hood, and I sat there and watched until he was finished and flew out of sight. And it was one of my prize moments. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'd also like to say that one of my fondest wishes is to someday meet you and at least spend 4 hours with you to share and to drink in some of that membrane of love that you have covered this earth with. And I am so grateful to you and just bless you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you so much.
Doesn't get much better than that. Hey, if people want to, do you give out your email address or do you have one for people who want to contact you? I don't want to put you on the spot.
I haven't until now.
I'll tell you, Richard, if you give out a personal email address, you will get thousands of emails by tomorrow morning.
Oh my goodness.
So this is up to you.
Well, there's a richardbach.com that
you can email you through that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They can email me through there. Sure.
richardbach.com. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a few more calls here, and then we'll call it a night. Jim is in Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hello. I'm on the air.
Yes, you are, Jim.
Hey, it's a privilege talking to you. I grew up with my mother reading your book to me, and I never figured out that there was actually a seagull. I thought it was a person, actually.
I can see how you could do that.
Yeah, flying person. So I grew up with that. So I'm a sailor. I'm learning how to fly now. I'm taking pilot lessons in Chatham.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. And the name of my boat is actually Puffin, and I have a little rowboat that's called Huffin. So I'm Huffin and Puffin.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I just wanted to say hello to you because, you know, your book made a lot of people's lives much better.
Sure did. See, Richard, you've changed a lot of people's lives.
Isn't that something? I haven't done it, but little Jonathan has, and I'm grateful for that.
Did you know that it would have that kind of influence on people?
No, I didn't. There have been so many stories that people have found while they read the book, something would happen to them. And I don't
I'm fascinated to hear the stories that people say about their experience with the book, with little Jonathan. I'm very proud of that little book. I'm very happy for it. But I didn't make it, you know.
You thought you were going to write just a little novella, as they call it, and that would be
a little novella, right?
Is it true that your advance was $2,000? That was it?
Exactly right. Amazing. Yes.
Gosh. Yep. Thank God for royalties, right? Well, look, we're out of time, Richard, but I want to thank you for being on the program. You're invited anytime you want.
Oh, George, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful, wonderful time.
And when I get back to St. Louis, I'm going to rummage through my my bookcase and get that book to you to sign for me, okay?
Wonderful. Happy to do that.
All right, Richard, you take care. Richard Bach, author of Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I'll tell you what's so amazing. As a boy, you know, 20 years old, I'm reading this book. Never in my life, never did I think I'd be interviewing him, ever. It's a small world, and I'm glad you're part of the program so you can share this experience with him. And those of you who called in, that's something that I trust you will remember for the rest of your lives as well. Great programs in store for you for the entire week, so just keep your dial tuned to Coast AM. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, Ben Artbell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.